some part of the shir is to figure out the context of each mizmor, who composed the mizmor, and in what in reference to what event, what prophecy, what is the context of the mizmor. So here, like many other mizmorim, we have a very wide range. It's abstract. The greater the abstraction, the greater the opinions. Who wrote this and for what purpose? So over here doesn't seem too much of an argument. David wrote this. Lamatzech mizmor David. We're on page 548. David wrote this mizmor. But what did he write this mizmor about? So if you look right away at the Radak, number one, he says, Gam ze ha-mizmor bevorchoi. Radak learns that this mizmor is a continuation of mizmor Samach Gimel. David is fleeing from Avshalom. From Shaul. He's running away from Shaul. He's under attack. And it's like pretty much a continuation of the previous mizmor. Who's the one who parallels this? Look at the Malbim. The Malbim pretty much says the same thing. The Malbim, Pasuk Alvesh 5:48. The Malbim says, Pavatzech Amro Kineged Doye Kwadoimi, Vireyav Asher Harshu Olav Rav Noksu Bapach Asher Yechinulo, against Doeg. Now Doeg was on the team of Shaul. Team Shaul. Doeg was one who spoke Lashon Hara, who persuade Shaul to pursue David. Doeg was the one that was responsible for the death of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. He convinced Shaul that the entire city of Koyhanim is coming to back up, is coming to support your enemy, the one that you've been roided, David. They're all Chayiv Misa. So the Malbim pretty much is in full agreement with what it says in the Radak. Now, let's go look at another one before we go to some of the ones that are a little bit very different. I think there's one more that says the same thing. Who is that? Let me see if I can find it over here. No, I can't find it at this moment. So far, we have two on this side. We have the Radak and the Malbim. It is the continuation. Now, let's look at the first words of Rashi. The first words of Rashi, which is the same thing as the Chaimus Anach, says it, as well as the Mitzudos. Three Mefarshim here on the page share the same next idea. Mizmor zeh dirashu ba'alei agodas tilim al Doniel shuhushlach legoiv aroyois. And here Rashi gives this is uncharacteristic of Rashi, because many times when Rashi quotes Midrashim, people who quote Midrashim, he says, yeah, the Midrash is very, very nice, but it doesn't fit into the words of the Pasuk. And you're doing a disservice by trying to take this Midrash and to wedge it in unnaturally into the words of the Pesukim. Here, Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi is Pumfakert. What it says in the Midrash fits in very nicely. It fits beautifully. Nachum over here, Mizmor zeh dirashu ba'alei agodos, agodas tilim, al Doniel, shehushlach legoiv aroyos, who was cast into the den of lions, the yofe noifel kol l'shoina mizmor al ho'agoda. It's beautiful. The words fit. It fits. If the glove fits, wear it. Tzofa David rechakodesh kol ha'mo'ora lo, David yisun rechakodesh kol ha'mo'ora lo, David, and we have to remember that Doniel lived approximately 500 years after David. Okay, a little bit less. Okay, the Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years and David died. David died shortly before that. And Doniel lived at the tail end of the Golus of 70 years. So it's about approximately 500 years. Approximately 410 plus 7, that's 480. And how another maybe 10 years before, so it's 490. Okay, so give or take, whatever, 470, 490, or maybe, I don't know the numbers exactly, but it's about 500 years. So could you imagine, David is seeing something up in Ruach HaKodesh, what's going to happen 500 years from the time that he's saying these words? Prophecy. Okay, David is a Navi, it's a prophet. So why then isn't Sefer Tehillim in Sefer Nevi'im? Why is it in Sefer Kis? This is an old topic we always come back to. You know, this, just because the person is a Navi doesn't necessarily mean that what he says counts in the category, and even though what the person is saying is prophecy, it doesn't necessarily mean it gets into the book of Nevi'im. Okay, this is a big topic. You know, this we always come back to. What are the criteria for a Sefer to be part of the Nevi'im versus to be part of the Ksuvim? According to Rashi, this Mizmor is a prophecy. What's going to happen 500 years from now? That's a prophecy. it's a prophecy, so this mizmor should be in the Sifrei Nevi'im, not in the Sifrei Kisuvim. Obviously, there's a lot of conditions that have to be, criteria have to be understood deeply, what exactly makes a Sefer into in the Sifrei Nevi'im, the Kisuvim. That's not for now, but this is a prophet. This, yeah?
Yesterday,
to a song.
Because all of his each unit is called a mizmor. Didn't get an answer on that.
No, so when David said Zemir, he was referring to the Torah Mamish. All right, whatever. Okay.
I think in all the Nevi'im it says someplace that God spoke to them, and here it never to David. It never, you know.
You're saying something interesting.
Never says that God spoke to David. You
know? Very good. You're saying something very good.
And it's his own thoughts, which is like
more. Even though. So you're saying even though you can have an asplak maria hamhi, and you can see, the future, and you can write about the future. If Hashem never spoke to the person directly, no matter what you say, no matter how clear your prophecy is, you do not enter into Sefer Nevi'im. I never heard that before, and that's a very powerful thing. That's a very powerful thing. If David, the whole Tillim is full of prophecies. It's clear as day. I mean, that's why we have Tillim. That's why we say Tillim, because David saw it all. Is there ever a pasuk in Shemach where Hashem spoke to David? Yitzhak, you're right. There's no such thing. Every time David needs a consultation with Hashem, he talks to Nosson Hanavi or God HaChoyzeh. God HaChoyzeh or Nosson Hanavi. Or Shmuel. Hashem spoke to Shmuel. Hashem spoke to God HaChoyzeh. Hashem spoke to Nosson Hanavi. Anyone else that David spoke to? Eli? No, not Eli. Eli already died. Eli was long gone before David was born. So you have Shmuel, God HaChoyzeh, and Nosna Navi, anyone else that David spoke to, a Navi at that time, I don't know. Let's say those three are pretty much already too much. You're right, Taki. David, Hashem never spoke to David. Hashem never spoke to Shlomo either.
You don't know. Maybe every night.
It doesn't record. There's no record. We have no pasuk. We have no pasuk in Tanakh that says that. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe leimor. Vayedaber Hashem al David leimor. No such thing. Hashem spoke to Avraham, to Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im that we Yeshaya. Yeshaya, Yim, Yecheskel. You're saying very good. You're saying very, very good. You don't find a communication, even though the words that David said is prophecy,
he didn't know himself what he was seeing, and that's why there's such a machlok is about. You see in all the performance on this puzzle here, one says it was about this.
Every mizmor is like that. We just learned the selective few mefarshim.
David himself he didn't know what he was looking at. He saw things, but he couldn't place it.
He needed the Nevi'im to explain it to him?
Yeah, on some level. Maybe.
I don't know.
It's interesting. The Rambam says that. The Rambam says that on Torah, Moshe, in Nevi'im and Kesuvim, that all of Kesuvim were written with Ruach HaKodesh. So David had Ruach HaKodesh.
Okay.
The Nevi'im, all the Nevi'im, was written by a higher level of Nevuah, where they would, Hashem would speak through their Rono, and Moshe Rabbeinu was his Spakayim Meira, his Nevuah.
There are many Mahalchim.
He explains the difference.
Correct. There are many Mahalchim in this topic, many Mahalchim to explain.
So David was not called a Navi, but he had Ruach HaKodesh.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Right.
But we're just pointing out that this Mizmar, and like many other Mizmarim, according to Rashi, the Mitzudais, and who else, and we'll see more, David is seeing something in the distant future, and he's describing it, and he's davening to Hashem that this person should be successful and should survive the ordeal. Now, in our vocabulary, our very limited vocabulary, that's prophecy. Anyone that's able to see something into the future, we typically, maybe we're wrong, but we typically associate the vision of the future with prophecy. If that is the case, so why? And this is not only unique to this mizmor. This applies to kemat every mizmor. you can say that there are things that allude to the future. So why then is Sefer Tehillim not part of the Sifrei Nevi'im? Why is it part of the Sifrei Kisim? So Mordechai Mintz is giving one approach of is that even though it's Taka true, you see the future, but it's a different level. It's for us, it's very abstract because we have no understanding of these things. It's a different level. It's a different level of which we can't really define. A Navi, it's a higher level. Ksuvim is Ruach HaKodesh.
It's the lowest level of Nevuah.
It's a lower level. It's not the same. Oh, whatever that, what does that mean to us? Abstractions.
Has a understanding of what happened, what's going on, and therefore what will be. It's a vision of the future of the facts versus the prophecies coming totally random.
Okay, we're going very deep here. The shiur is getting very mystical. We have a lot of mystics here. All right, let's leave that aside. Okay, it is a future event. The Rashi over here, this is a very usual Rashi. Because Rashi doesn't like Rashi is the Baal HaGadah of the world, and yet Rashi always whenever he quotes Pesukim HaGadah and he tries to read into the pasuk, he always puts it down. It doesn't really fit. Doesn't fit into the pasuk. This is an unusual Rashi. Rashi, how often do you have a nusach like this in Rashi? V'yofeh noifel kol l'shoyin hamizmer al ho'agada. This is a very uncommon statement for Rashi to make. Rashi will quote Medrash right and left, but to go say that it fits, he doesn't do that. Always secondary, and I'll always knock it. And sometimes I'm not even going to bother with the Medrash, because it doesn't fit at all into the words of the pasuk. Here, he's very generous. A good day. Rashi, he was in a good mood when he wrote this. It fits. And he explains.
Today's Daf Yomi, we had Ad Yavar Amcha.
Ad Yavar Zukonisa.
Ad Yavar. Amzu Kanisa, but didn't say Amko, the nation. So Mercer said the Rishayna is at the Aparena. But it didn't happen.
That's in the Torah.
The second time like the first.
Well, that's in the Torah.
But why the Torah is actually saying that there's no Nevuah greater than the Torah.
That's a Torah, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Oz Yoshe Moshe.
It didn't happen.
Oz Yosher Moshe. The Moshe is the Av Hanavim. Moshe Rabbeinu, his Nevu
so
is
a Nevu. The question, why did it happen? The Fed was Gerib. That didn't happen.
Shema Yigre Machet. Shema Yigre Machet.
No, Vada Yigre Machet. And that's why the Bia Shania
didn't happen.
It was not as great as
it was meant to be. It was meant to be greater. Right. Greater. But because
the Chet. Whenever. A novi, sheker or something, it has to come true. How come it come true?
How come it didn't come true, right? Yeah. Well, he didn't say. I mean, it's he didn't say it explicitly. It's a drush. If you would say it explicitly,
I actually said that it's a drush. Pashup Shad is not like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Okay, so let's finish Rashi. Rashi, four lines down. Safa, Dabrach HaKadosh Kol HaMorav Bov Nispal L'Lav Shemitsha Daniel Mizarahoya. Okay, this is an important Yisoid. David had an affinity to Daniel because he was his Enichel, or Enichel, 500 years later. He was his Enichel. A person always has an affinity, has affection to his children, to his grandchildren, to his great-grandchildren. Like they say, people always make this joke that they love their grandchildren, they're surrounded by their grandchildren, they spoil them rotten, and they say, had I known how much I would love my grandchildren, I would have had them first, before my children. So David over here, he sees Daniel, al pi ruach hakodesh nevuah, and over here, David, Daniel is my enikel, he's my zera, and I see that he's in trouble. They're coming to get him. So therefore, David in this mizmor is being mispalel for Daniel, for his descendant 500 years later. Daniel was Shevet Yehuda. She Daniel mizaruhoye k'moish nemer lechizkiah umibonecha, as the Navi who said to Chizkiah, Yeshaya. The big Navi of the day was Yeshaya. Yeshaya said to Chizkiah, Umi bonecha asher toilid yikachu v'hoyu sarisim beheich lamelech. From your children. So Chizkiyahu was a descendant of David, because Chizkiyahu was the melech. And Yeshayah is saying to Chizkiyahu that you will have a descendant by the name of Daniel, and he will be a servant in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. So if Daniel is an enikel of Chizkiyahu, and Chizkiyahu is an enikel of David, so that means that Daniel is an enikel of David. V'hoyu sarisim heichal melech b'bavel ve'elu Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, ve'Azariah. This is the team of four. These are the big four that are the ones who were the transition team. This was the transition team between the end of Golos Bavel to the building of the Bayis Sheni. These held, they kept Klal Yisrael. Daniel.
Remember they were selected by Nebuchadnezzar.
Correct.
Because they were from
royalty.
Royalty. That's why Rashi is also saying this, because he was also from Sheni.
Oh. Rashi was also from Shevet Yehuda. That means most of Klal Yisrael today. I mean, most of us come from many of us come from Rashi. After the First Crusade, how many Jews were left in Eastern Europe?
Well, supposedly in the 1500s, there were only 50,000 Jews in Europe. That's all there was.
But go back to the First Crusade. I think at the end, after there were many that were killed. There were like 10,000 Jews left. And many of them were descendants of Rashi, and Rashi was whatever. Take it back, but Nechanan was a very, it's one of a very small gene pool. Orthodox Jews, Jews in general. There weren't many Jews in other parts of the world.
Right.
Most Jews were concentrated in France and Germany, and some in Spain, which was really all, you know, they're all pretty close to each other. Poland wasn't yet.
It seems the main concentration
of Jews was in France, Germany, and Spain. It had to be Jews in Rome. Jews never left Rome from the time of the Bayis Rishon. There's no question about that. But what about Poland? It doesn't seem Poland.
They weren't allowed.
There doesn't seem.
Afghanistan, very few.
There was the story with the four with the.
No, India had one of the biggest.
All right, could be. I don't know. There was a late. I think that all came back much later in history. All right, I don't know. I really don't know.
They were involved in the spice trade much earlier.
I think we're going different.
Spices to Egypt, and from Egypt
the beginning of the. I'm not. I don't know. I can't say. I don't know.
Anyway, by the way, it says when David also said, "So for David to go up the Kodesh."
Safa. It says Ruach HaKodesh, but they use the word Safa. Safa is the word of prophecy. It's an oxymoron. If it's Safa, so saying it is Nevuah. But we usually like to differentiate between Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah. So he's saying over here, there Mordechai is saying very good over here, it's an oxymoron. It's Safa. That's typically a term that is used by a prophet. And yet it says Ruach HaKodesh.
It
said Nevuah.
It also is
a of Nevuah. Ruach HaKodesh is a level.
Okay. It's a different, it's a Suvim level. It's not a
Okay, so we have over here Hagdama. This is what it says in Rashi. Rashi is a very nice Hagdama that we're dealing over here with Daniel that was, that Daniel, Ish Hamudois, this prophecy is all about Daniel and his Nisyonois. He was under attack by Nebuchadnezzar. Really, we're going to see over here soon that if you really want to study the sugya amchol of the deep state, what is the deep state? What is that? Mazeh deep state. If you look, we're going to see over here a little soon over here. I think it's in the Chumasan. Some of the mefarshim, I've turned the page on the next page maybe, is Imamish, the mefarshim talk about that Nebuchadnezzar had in his government a deep state. What is a deep state? A deep state, what's the translation?
Every king has a court, and there's always intrigues going on in that court.
But let's explain the pure definition.
His advisors, you know, his, behind the scene advisors.
But let's explain. I think there's a misconception.
He's a puppet, you know. The deep state is running this country. You know, say some say it's Rice, you know, whatever. But,
Let's explain what this means, because if you read the Mefarshim, it's mamish what they say about Nebuchadnezzar. What it basically means, you talk about the United States, and again, if you go listen to some, if you have time to burn, and you listen to some of these people who explain what is a deep state, because I never heard this terminology until very recently. What is a deep state? Maze deep state. I never heard this before until like maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. All these new things today. And the way it's explained is azoy. Is, you know, let's say Lumashal. There in this country, there is a president of the United States. And there are many different organizations, different I don't know what to say. What are they? They're different departments. Departments, agencies. So there's a CIA that was established by one Tekufa. There's something called the NSA that was established by another generation. And there's the FBI. And there is there are different agencies in the government.
17
of them. And each one has a budget that you can't even be mastic. They have budgets, so you can't even imagine how much each one of these agencies, where do they get this money from? Who knows? They have these budgets. And here's the keywords. Here's the keywords that really hit a chord in my heart. These agencies, you would think in your mind, they're all meant to serve the executive branch of the government. The intelligence of the FBI is, they're all working for one person, for the president. The NSA is working for the president. The FBI is working for the president. The IRS, they're working for the president, right? They all report. They're all to serve. There's a hierarchy. There's a pyramid. They're all. Guess what? The title of the deep state means... it's not just report. They were created to collect intelligence or to provide services for the executive administer of the government, right? They're all for that. They're all there to serve. The taich of the deep state, according to the experts, means these agencies, after, even though they were created to serve, after time passes, they serve no one but themselves. They're their own government. Once the president who established them goes away, new election, there's a new boss in town, these agencies, we're not any longer going to serve the new president. We have our own leader and we serve ourselves. If the president asks us to do something, we'll consider his request. No different than if the president of Afghanistan will ask us a favor. So we'll consider, if the president of Afghanistan will go and call up the CIA, can you do me a favor? Can you give me some information about someone? So the CIA will say, the president of Afghanistan has made a request. Should we honor his request? Well, think about it. If the president of the United States asked the CIA, can you give me information? They treat the president of the United States exactly the way they treat the president of Afghanistan, or the head of the Taliban, or the head of China. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You're just a guy from the street. You're just a politician. You serve yourself. And there are 17 agencies. The deep state means each agency, they serve themselves. They do not serve a central figure. It's no joke. And why am I telling you this? Because we're going to read here soon.
They don't work with each other.
We're going to read here soon. That's mamish the way I think the Malbum describes, or I'm telling you something, the way the Malbum describes what was going on with Daniel. What's going on with Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar was basically, the way he described it, was in the dark as to what his administration, one of his agencies was trying. They were trying to pass a law that no one is allowed to daven, to pray to a god other than Nebuchadnezzar. Not that they could care less about Nebuchadnezzar. There was an agency, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand why his lawmakers are trying to do this. But if that's what they want to do, so gesundheit. they were literally serving themselves, and they were at odds with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar thought he has a country and everyone is working for him. He has agencies that are serving themselves. And he's going to read that into the Pesuk that we're coming along with over here. The more things change, Rabbi Isai, the more they stay the same.
With the Supreme Court, they say, we give over to the agencies to figure certain things out, but we will not move this.
When an agency, that's another agency and department in the United States that serves themselves, the Supreme Court. You would think everyone is serving a central authority. Yeah, you would think, but that's not the way the world works. The way the world works is everyone serves themselves.
With Daniel, he is an outsider, a foreigner, and he rises above the heads of all these nobles in Babylonian court. So of course they're out to get him.
But what's so interesting is that Nebuchadnezzar doesn't even know what's going on. That's how he's going to explain. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. So far, this is Rashi. Rashi, we're dealing with Daniel. Daniel was in a unique situation.
Okay, if I may, I'll go back a little bit, if I may. That's not my understanding of the deep state. I'm not arguing with you. It could be that's the way that Daniel set up. But the deep state, my understanding of it is the deep state means that there are people behind the scenes who are running the show.
Okay, that's another Teich.
That's what the deep state is. He's running the show. They say Biden, Rice.
There are secret
Reagan,
people.
I mean, he's bitten.
Okay, that's what I thought originally, after I read a lecture. Okay, right, correct.
Okay, the one. And secondly, the agencies that are created, you know, that's the argument, like a Merrill Gardner. The FBI, the CIA, they're not meant to serve the president. They're meant to serve the people. They got to charge, you know, Hunter and everybody else. You know, they're supposed to be independent on their own.
So to a degree.
I'm just,
okay. Yeah, I'm only mentioning this.
You know,
I don't want to politics.
That's the whole argument.
I'm only mentioning this as a hakdama to what we're going to see some very powerful words.
Okay.
You're right. Well, you're correct. You're Mordechai. I used to use a secret people. Secret people who have a secret budget. Yeah. It's taka true, but that's you know, that's it's not even so complicated. I was lectured on this. It's taka true. We all know there are secrets that go on in this world that we know about. But that you don't even need to come on to that. When you have agencies that have budgets that are the size of governments of this world, that totally do whatever they want and are not accountable to anyone, and they, when another agency makes a request of them in this country, they look at them like it's a request from someone from Mars, because they only serve themselves. Thus, alain is a din of a deep state, and the reason why we're wasting time on this concept is because it's mamish going to come out of leap off the page when we come to that idea, when we discuss the sugya of Doniel Ish Chamudas. Now, we're not done yet. Now look at the mitzudas. The mitzudas are follows in the path of Rashi. The mitzudas David says, Shema Elokim Koli Amar Razal Sha'amaroi David Bavor Doniel Al Shuhushlach Legoiv Aroyos Al Yidei Tachbulois Hasarim. He already alludes to this. Through the Tachbulois, it wasn't Daniel. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. It was not Nebuchadnezzar. It was the Sarim. The people there, there was a department in his government which demanded that Daniel be thrown to the lions. And because Daniel was a descendant of David, 500 years later, approximately, that is why David is devoting a mizmar on his behalf to pray for him. Now let's go. Now let's finish the pasuk over here. Okay, let's look at that. So the princes. Right, we'll get. That's not even the part I want to get. Right. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. It was a different administration, and Nebuchadnezzar was powerless to stop this from happening, even though he did not necessarily want this to happen. Okay, now let's. So far, what we have done. Recap. We have over here. We had the Radak and the Sipurno. The Radak and the Malbum. The Radak and the Malbum have taught us that we're dealing here with Shaul and Doeg. Shaul and Doeg are trying to take out David, and David is being mispallowed to be spared from Shaul and Doeg, which is in the past. David is reflecting about the past. On the other hand, we have Rashi and the Mitzvah is David following in that way that says that David is not talking about, is not reflecting on the past. David is talking about the distant future. It's a prophecy, what's going to be 500 years from now. And now we come to the third approach. And we're going not just 500 years, we're going less than 450 years. We're going to the story of Mordechai HaYehudi. Mordechai HaYehudi and Esther HaMalka. This Mizmor is a prophecy on the Purim miracle. Okay, nothing to do with Daniel. The Purim miracle.
It's almost a continuation.
It's almost right. I'm sorry. It's the same. I told you, it's the same time. Daniel was a little before. Adarab, Daniel was before the Purim miracle. The Purim miracle. So it's a little bit later. It's really the same time. Daniel appears in the Megillah, Hasach. He was the one that would ferry the information between Mordechai and Esther. And how according to one opinion, he was killed. He was assassinated by Haman. Haman killed, that was the collateral damage of the Purim miracle, he was killed. So it's a little bit later, or came out the same time, a little bit later. And but it's a different focus. It's not the same. It's a whole different focus. According to the Chumash Sanach, according to Rashi and the Mitzudois, we're dealing with Doniel when he was thrown. It's a different book. There's a Sefer Doniel. It's a whole different story. A whole different book of Doniel made in his room 12 windows. He dived into Hashem. It drove the people mad. Because the people of that time appreciated that Daniel had the koyach hatzfilah, and they could not live with that, and they did everything possible to prevent Daniel from having the ability to daven, and at least not to be able to concentrate when he davened to Hashem. It's a story of Daniel ish hamudos, which culminated in being thrown into the den of lions. And then the miracle which happened to him, and he survived in Pumbakeret, all the people that tried to kill him, they were thrown to the den of lions, according to the Medrash. Okay, it's a different story. According to the Chumash Sanach, we're dealing with the story of Purim. The Purim story of Haman HaRasha, and Mordechai HaYehudi, and Esther HaMalka. And we're going to have to translate every single pasuk in this Mizmar in reference to a specific event of Megillas Esther. Look at the Chumash Sanach. Shema Elokim, and the Sipurno says the same thing. Look at the Mechumisach. Shema Elokim, kol Elokim koli besichi, Razal, Rabbeinu Zichronim. Chumisnach, Pasuk Beis. Razal, Rabbeinu Zichronim Levracha, Beshoicher Tav Medrish, Shoicher Tav, it's a Medrish on Tilim. Okay, and same thing, it is the Medrish of Tilim. Shoicher means a yearning. If that's what it's called. Okay, to seek shoicher toiv dirashuhu al Daniel. Fine, let's go further al Daniel kishnis yuatzu lahorgoi, when they wanted to kill him, uvikshu ila, they're looking for an excuse. To prevent him from davening, v'yodiyah kolosh baruch hu l'dover hamelech olav hashalom, she Daniel oimer shmalukim kol koili v'sichi uferi sharav hachosid morenu harabi harav Rav Yosef Yavetz zechon levroch. I don't know who this is. Okay, this is the Yavetz? This is Rav Yaakov Emdin? No, someone different. Has to be someone. I think it's someone different. B'pei rushoi l'fi sheshmias hatfil tului b'chavonis alev kamoi. Tachin libam takshiv aznecha. Prayer depends upon kavana, and they try to disturb Daniel's kavana by taking away from him yishuv hadas. In fact, the Gemara says, I don't know where this Gemara is. The Gemara says that one of the Amoraim says, I can exempt the entire Klal Yisrael from any complaint they have in Shemaim against the Jews for not davening. Because in Golos, we have no Yishuv Hadas. We have no Yishuv Hadas in Golos, and you can never have a complaint against a person, why did you not daven properly? To daven properly, you need to have peace of mind. And we live in a world today where there are so many daigos, so many problems, it's almost impossible for a person to calm down and to have Yishuv Hadas, to properly have Kavana. It's impossible. Therefore, there's no complaint against the person today for his lack of concentration in prayer, because the reality of Golus prevents a person from davening. Daniel Ish Hamudois had
the Sonein allows us with Saint Ubam Yakev, she's a bounteous.
It prevents us from having Kavana. Daniel had a tremendous talent. Daniel was in a very difficult situation. He was in the palace of the Nebuchadnezzar. He was in the thickness of Golus. He was totally immersed. And yet, Daniel had the koyach. This is his legacy. You have to appreciate this. This is a very powerful insight, that Daniel was the exception. In Golus, the mitzvah is that in Golus you cannot concentrate. And there's no complaint. Daniel had the koyach to have Yishuv Hadas in Golus. That is his legacy. That is how, you know, the V'hu Racham we said today, a big chunk of it is patterned after the prayer of the words, the vocabulary is from Daniel. Sefer Daniel, a lot of the vocabulary. Daniel Ish Chamudos is the koyach that in Golus, to be able to find, to etch out for yourself a mokoim of Yishuv Hadas. On your level, to be able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the mitzias is, Golus takes away from Klal Yishol Yishuv Hadas. And if there's no Yishuv Hadas, it's not possible to daven, as the Chaim HaSanach says over here, Tochen Libam, they have to direct their hearts. The word Tochen Libam means, it means kavana, it means concentration, focus. Takshiv oznecha, then Hashem will listen, may your ears, Hashem, listen to our prayer. But that is only after there is the prerequisite has been fulfilled, there is tochin libam. V'ulai, so what was the goal of the sorim of Nebuchadnezzar? Their intent was to disrupt his concentration in prayer. They don't want, it's amazing what they wanted to do to him. They don't want to kill him. They didn't want to harass him. They didn't want to take his money. They didn't even want to take away his religion. You see, we live in Golus. You know, we always think about, oh, it's either they want to kill us or they want to take away our religion. No, it's a different type of Golus. We don't want to kill you. We need you. There's no one more talented than Daniel. No one can get the job done, can make them rich and successful. They don't want to kill him. They don't want to take away his religion. You want to be a Jew? You want to eat seeds? You don't trust the kashrus of the palace? You know, we have a kosher kitchen in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. No. Okay, so eat your seeds. Eat your seeds. Eat the seeds. He ate salad, whatever. You want to be a religious Jew? Gesundheit, be a religious Jew. You can take your lulav and your esther, you can go have your sukkah. You can have whatever you want. But you know we're not letting you have? We're not going to let, and you can even daven. You can go to shul, and you can shakel, like a litvak, and you can move your lips, and words come out. But you know what we're not going to let you do? There's only one thing that we're not going to let you do. Have kavana. The fire alarm is going to go off in Mila Shemona Esrei. We're going to have amber alerts every day during the Amida, during the silent Shemona Esrei, amber alert. Everyone's smartphone's gonna go beep, beep, beep. That's the only thing we don't want the Jews to do, to have kavanas halev during prayer. Because the goyim were very smart. They knew if the Jews daven with kavana, it's a different world. It's a world that you cannot imagine. Isn't that amazing? You can be a Jew, you can live freedom of religion, but just don't have kavana when you daven. It's all we want from you. You can learn shas and poiskim, alts. Just don't have kavana salif. Mama Shapella. You know, I'll tell you some conspiracy theories. This is not a joke. There's a very big problem today with children, all the yeshivas. The rebbeim, that the level of concentration is just gone down the tubes. Today, you know, it used to be a standard shiur, would be an hour and 15 minutes. Now you can't hold a class more than half an hour, a period of half an hour. Like, what happened to our minds? And Niskadnu Hadoy, what's going on? Well, there's so there are many, many different answers. And one of the answers, which I really, okay, this is a conspiracy theory, but I've read a lot about this, and really there's nothing you can do about it. And is it true, is it not true? As they talk about it, it's very, 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 to me, it's very, I don't know, resonates with me, but you know, it doesn't make a difference. Because it's not much you can do about it. Is, no, every time you have a machshav in your mind, it's an electrical impulse. There's an electrical impulse. It's a the person that has going through his body in any given moment, 2.5 watts. 2.5 watts is going through your body, a healthy person. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made man. And when you have a machshav in your mind, there are electrical impulses in your mind. Today, you test anyone in this room. How you will test me right now. I'm in front of a computer, in front of a microphone. When this thing is on, is the pits. This is the worst thing possible in the world. Probably right now, if you would test me, there's about 7 volts of electricity going through my body. Seven. It's the way God made man, 2.5. Right now, because I'm in front of all these electronical devices, I have a smartphone, and I have a microphone, and I have a computer, and I have behind me this thing, even if it's turned off, it's extremely dangerous. There's about 7 watts, I tested myself, 7 watts. Everyone in this room, probably about 4 or 5. Test yourself. There's about 4 or 5 going through everyone because you're not in front of any electrical device unless you're against the wall where you are mayor. You're sitting next to an outlet, so there's probably more by near where you are. And everyone about 4 or 5. That's not the way Hashem made you. Hashem made you with 2.5. So where did the 4 come from? Because in this room there's about probably 50 signals from all various cell phone towers and police secret, like all these signals. And in this room, there's Wi-Fi. We got a Wi-Fi here. We got another Wi-Fi out there. You can't even imagine what's going on in this room. That's interference. That is interference in your concentration, in your mind, in your signals. When you think, it's only 2.5. If you flood a signal, an electrical signal, with more with outside, it interferes. So most people, they laugh at you. They laugh at you, big deal, so I have 7 watts are going through, who cares? Wouldn't it be a nice experiment to try for a month to turn off, become all cavemen? Become cavemen for 1 month. What would happen? No one knows. This is all a theory. But it's amazing, we're reading over here about this Chaimus Anoch, describing Daniel, and we know as a fact that in the beginning, Daniel, no one tried to kill Daniel in the beginning. He had a wonderful life, and they gave him kosher food. They let him eat his seeds, and they let him practice his religion, like in America. Everything was wonderful. He was a Jew. He had all the trappings of a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, religion. There's only one thing they didn't want from him: concentration. When you daven, don't concentrate. Because if you concentrate, that's lethal. That's lethal for us. Then Hashem is going to listen to you, and that's lethal for us. It's amazing. In America, we have everything. Baruch Hashem, Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamu. We have everything. We have religion. We have rights, entitlements. You were spoiled rotten. Yet the concentration of our ability of the common man has gone down. Everything today has to be a soundbite, anecdote. A meaningful minute, a dose, and every share, what used to be an hour, has to be reduced to 45 minutes or half an hour. I'm not making this up. Everyone will tell you this. And in yeshivas, everything has to be, you know, bite size. What happened to us? We have everything except for one thing we're losing dramatically, and no one knows why. What I told you, people will laugh at you. They'll laugh you at what I just said. I actually think there's something to it, but that's my personal opinion. And there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing, there's anyone can do about it. This is the world we live in. There's nothing you can do. V'zehu. But haloi davar? We're living in the time of Daniel. We have everything, but our concentration is just dissipating. And no one knows why. No one can figure out why. What are we doing? What's happening to us? Why? It's not only us, it's the whole world. Okay, we'll do an experiment. We'll all become cavemen for a month and see if our concentration goes up. This is what it says in the Chaimus Anoch, and that's what the gist of the whole Mizmar is that the only thing they didn't want, he writes, Lefi Shashmiya Satafila Tliya Bikavana Salev, Ki Armo Tochin Libam Takshiv Oznecha V'ula Mipachta Lo Yuchal L'Chavim Tawai. They tried to terrorize Daniel, and by doing so, they disturbed his concentration. Amar Shmalik, that's how he's going to learn the Mizmah. Okay, that is the Chumetz. So the Chumetz Anoch, I told you we'll get to Haman is the Sipurno. So the Chumetz Anoch is the same thing, not Mamish the same thing, but he's describing the era of Daniel Ish Chamuda. It's three people on this team. We have Chumetz Anoch with Rashi. Rashi, of course, is the Rishon. Rashi and the Chumetz Anoch and the Mitzudas. Enter into the stage is the Sipurno. The Sipurna writes, "Bezeh haMizmar hispalel al devar Haman." Okay, you have to clap. Haman shebikesh lahachris es Yisrael behal shonoisav aleim lufnei achashverosh kmo shebikshu malshinei David olav Omar. Okay, that's the Hakdama. He's going to learn the entire Mizmar. This Mizmar, read every single word in this Mizmar in reference to Haman, Mordechai, Esther, and that era. So, sach hakol, we have here three, at least on the page in front of us, there's probably more. It's too bad they didn't put in this sefer, the Ralbag. We'll have more things to learn insights. You know, it's much easier when it's on the page to prepare. And the Targum is not too clear about this. Targum, I really can find, maybe we'll see. We'll see. It doesn't seem, we have to figure out what the Targum wants to say, which side he's taking. But basically, we have over here as a hakdama to this mizmar. This is always the most. This is again is the most delicious part of each mizmar is the hakdama. Who, what, where, when, how. Three basic mahalcha. Either the radak and the malbim. Surprisingly, the malbim usually likes to be novel. He likes to go where no man has gone before. But here he's taking the most simplistic approach to this mizmar. We're dealing with the past. It's a reflection upon what has happened to David in his early life with Shaul, Doeg, Achitofel, Avner, V'chol HaNilvim Olav. Okay, all of those people who gave him a hard time. And that's what the Radak and the Malbim, Rashi, Chumetz Anoch, Mitzudos, all say we are discussing Daniel Ish Chamudos. And they're not the same. They're not the same. As you see, the Rashi says when he was talking to the Goyev Aroyos, the Mitzudois, or he also says the Goyev Aroyos Tachbulos Hasodim. And according to the Chumetz Anoch, you see, he's a little bit different. The Chumetz Anoch we're going to see is a little different. It's not really the Goyev Aroyos. His focus is, he's a more encompassing approach which is novel, to prevent him from concentrating in the Koyach HaTefillah, which is a very beautiful idea. And then we have the Sipurno, and he's going to elaborate very much on his approach, and he says we're dealing over here with the story of Mordechai and Esther. With that Hagdama, so let's now, okay, let's try to jump in. So we'll read a few psukim together. Lamatzech Mizmor David, Shema Elokim Koili B'Sichi, please listen to my voice B'Sichi, in my Asiach. Prayers. The word siach is a word that is used for, who's the first one that used this word? Yitzchak vayetze Yitzchak lo suach basodeh. And that very often is used in reference to shidduchim. Right? What did he go out to daven for? He went to daven for a shidduch. For who? Rishonim say daven for his father. Some said that he went out that Avraham, you know, he didn't want to take care of his father. Marry him off. Let's someone else. He wanted to be free. Send him away. So he went to daven for a shidduch for his father, Avram, because that was after Sarah died. It was 3 years after Sarah died. He had enough. He couldn't take care of him anymore. Marry him off. Who did he marry him off to? To Hagar. Who was, what does it say in the pasuk? It says, Keturah. Who was Keturah? Hagar. Hagar, so he went and he married him off. He was mispalel that Avraham should get married. I'm a vakesh rachim ba'ad chaver v'hu tzorech lo'itza davar. Hu nenet tachila. happens to be davened for a shidduch for his father, so Hashem gave him a shidduch. Rivka, Eliezer came back with the word. The word siach is used in reference to shidduchim. It's a word for prayer. Chazal say yofas siachosan shel avi avos yoiser mitoyrosam shel banim. Right, the siach of the avdei avos is more precious than the Torah of the children. What does that refer to? Eliezer. So what is the simple translation? The idle chatter. That's the way many people will translate that Maimer Chazal. Yofe sichoson shel avdei avos. The idle chatter of the servants of the patriarchs is more precious than the Torah, the laws, the meat and potatoes of Klal Yisrael. How do you know this? Well, look at the story of Eliezer Eved Avram. The Torah repeats every little detail of what happened when he went to find the zivuk for Yitzchak twice. Who needs all this detail? Let all this detail be found in the Medrash. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer will tell you all the details. The Tanchuma will tell you the details. What do we need? We need over here the Torah HaKadosha to tell us every little detail of the story of Eliezer. That's how the common man translates Yofes Sichosam. That's not necessarily the pshat. Siach means prayer. Prayer. Eliezer was mispalel. Eliezer, Yofes Sichosam Shel Avdei Avos means the Siach of Avdei Avos. Which we just said, it means prayer of Eliezer. Eliezer, when he came to the well, and he then was mispalel Hashem Elokei Avraham, Hatzliach Nadarki, not the idle chatter. We're not talking about the events. We're talking about the nusach of his tefillah. Eliezer, when he came to the well, he was mispalel, not idle chatter, he was mispalel to Hashem. And then when he was successful, he told Lavan and Besuel and the family, he repeated the Nusach HaTfilah. It's not the idle chatter, it's the Tfilah. Siach is Tfilah. So here as well, Shema Elokim Koili, listen to my voice, B'sichi, when I daven, when I pray, when I speak to you, Mipachad Oyev, from the terror of the Oyev, Titzor Chayoy, guard my life. Pasuk Gimel.
So we see that it fits to Daniel.
Of course.
It fits to everybody.
If it didn't fit, they wouldn't say it. Of course it fits. Each to his own. That's the beauty of Torah. I am Panim LaTorah. Of course, they wouldn't dare say if it didn't fit. For everyone. That's the koyach of a prophecy. That's exactly, everything is here. Pasuk Gimel, Tastireni Mitsoid Mirayim, save me, guard me from the Eitzah, from the evil plots. The Soid means the evil plans of the Mirayim, of the evildoers. Save me from the evil plan, the Soid is the Eitzah, the counsel of the evil people. May Rikshas, from the Rikshas Poale Oven. What does it mean, mirikshas? Hard word, the gathering. According to the Mitzvah scene, it means, it's going to be a machlokes what this word means, depending upon which approach you want to take, how you want to learn of Shol, you want to learn, it refers to Haman, but here it means the gathering. According to the Mitzvah scene, who says it refers to Daniel, he says, mirikshas inyan hakibutz, kimay lama rok shugayim. Why do the goyim gather? Do they make a commotion? Okay, something we mean to gather. What does it say over here in the Malbim?
It's more like conspiracy.
Oh, that's the Malbim. You see, that's exactly the point.
So,
let's look what it says. The Mitzudois Tzion, he says the word Inyon, he says Rikshas Inyon HaKibbutz, gathering. Soid is a count and eight, so they convene, they have a convention, and they get together, and they come up with a plan. They gather together. Okay, the Security Council, United Nations. That's the word Eitzah. The Soid, every word has to be defined based on its context. Here it says the word the soid. Soid means an eitzah. It's like the United Nations, all the representatives of the countries, they come together, they convene. That's called the rikshas. They convene, kibbutz. And what do? They pass resolutions. Resolutions, they condemn, they censor, they make, they meshagasim, alam meshagasim, they come out with soid of the people who gather together. That's what it says in the Mitzudot. I didn't make this up. He says the words of Yekibutz. Look at the Malbim in the Perish Hamilos. Because the Malbim has a different approach. He loves dealing with Shol, and he says the Mered. That's a whole different flavor. Rikshas means the rebellion. The nations, the people are coming to rebel. They're coming to rebel against David. David is their melech. Shmuel has anointed David to be the melech. He's the king. Anyone that doesn't fit in line with this, the prophet, Shmuel, you are a rebel. You're being moired in the malchus of David. Hold him balch. Malbum. Malbum is medik shas.
It's amazing that we are doing that same thing with tefillah. Misod chachamim with yamin. And then you have Beit Elokim alech beragesh.
Oh, excellent. About tefillah. Only a Baal Musaf would say this. The same thing. We have the soy and we have the word regesh. These two words go together. They go together. But the Malbim says, Hamered, b'kol hem yovuhu hepuhu hapech soy, k'mo lama rogshu. I don't know what he means by that. The opposite of soy. We'll read the Malbim soon, later, when we get to that. But I just want to get the basic gist. Next, Asher, and now next pasuk dal, please leave this page. Asher shanu chacherev leshnan. They sharpen the word like shinina. Everyone here knows the daf. Everyone here is, we have over here people who learn shas here. Shinina. Shinina, Rav said, they said to who said, Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said, Rav said to Rabbi Chia, I think it was, shinina, sharp one, sharpness. They have a sharp head. You should teach diligently. Mechudadim b'ficha. It should be sharp.
Well, for the benefit of the dentist,
shinayim. Shinayim, teeth are sharp. They cut into the food. Very good. Shinayim. Like, you know, they say about it. What is a good talmud? What kind of bachar should you take for an edim? A kosher egg. You ever see a kosher egg? What are the simonim mufhakim for a kosher egg? How do you know an egg is only kosher if it came from a kosher chicken, a kosher bird? If an egg comes from a non-kosher bird, there are a lot of eggs out there in the market. If the eggs were laid by non-kosher birds, the egg is not kosher. If I give you an egg, how do you know if it's a kosher, if the mother was a kosher bird? There's a simen. The simen is, there are three types of eggs, which we'll make believe there are four. Because how do you really define the top and the bottom? Well, let's read. One egg is flat. You look at your next time you have an egg. They cost a lot of money, eggs today. Today,
No.
It's on sale for 99 cents. 99 cents. Baruch Hashem. Inflation has come down. You should vote for Biden. The price of eggs has come down. That's the only thing that counts. That's what counts. The price of eggs has come down. That's it.
He brought it down.
That's what counts. Okay, that's the only thing that counts in this world. Nothing else matters. Okay, 100,000 people in 100,000 people have been in Russian soldiers are dead. That's pretty scary. 100,000 people, the Russians say. Pile ploim. I mean, what's going on over there? You can figure that out. Whatever. Okay, we have an egg. So there are three types of eggs. Next time you look at an egg, you'll notice it's true. I checked it out, it's not true. One side of the egg is flatter than the other side. On a regular, one side is pointy. It's much more pointy than the other side. So you have a bocher, there are three types of bocher. There are three types of eggs. You have eggs that are pointy on both sides. They're equally pointy on both sides. And then there are eggs that are equally flat on both sides. And then there are eggs, kosher eggs, that are pointy on one side and they're flat on the bottom. You have a bocher who's flat on both sides. What does it mean he's flat on both sides? He has this flesh. He can sit. He doesn't go anywhere. But the head is flat. flat. There's no movement in the head. No good. No good. Just because he has this flesh, if the head is doesn't function, no good. But then you can have a bachar that has a very pointy head. He's very, very smart. Very smart, but he has no zitz flesh. He has no zitz flesh. He can't sit. I used to have a guy, when I used to give a shiur, I used to spend so much time preparing the daf. And then I gave the daf, I sat over the shiur, took an hour to say the shiur. And there was a guy who came to Ma'ariv every night. This guy has no zitz flesh, this person. Came to Ma'ariv, and he would finish Ma'ariv. We anyway daf in Ma'ariv lightning fast. Okay, we finished Ma'ariv in Mamash. Shemona Esrei took who knows how long. This fellow who came from Ma'ariv, he finished Ma'ariv, the silent Shemona Esrei. I don't know how in the world he can do it in a second. And then he would open up the Gemara, the daf that we learned that night, and while we were waiting, he was waiting for Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, which anyway happened in the flesh. He learned the whole daf. He went through the whole daf, and you know something? He knew it. He was a genius. And I always said, I can't believe this. I spent today 3 hours preparing the daf. It took me an hour to say the shir. It's 4 hours. And this guy comes to Ma'ariv, comes late to Ma'ariv. He daven so quickly. He finishes the silent Shemona Esrei. He sits down. And while they're waiting to say Yiskadal v'Yiskadash Shmei Rabbah, he learns the whole daf. He learns the whole daf. And he knows it also. This guy has a very sharp head. But he also has a very sharp bottom. A very sharp bottom. A sharp head and a sharp bottom. He has no zitz flesh for nothing. He's a genius, but he has no zitz. No good. No good. You know what's good? When it's sharp on top and flat on the bottom. You look at an egg. Ah, this is a good shirach. This is a good shirach. It's sharp on top and flat on the bottom. The word sharp means this, that's the meaning of this word. Asher shonenu chacherev lishoinam. Their tongues are sharp, like a sword. Darchu chitzam dovar mar. They dip, this was a technique, they probably still do this today. They dip the tip of their arrows in poison. So when the arrow reaches its destination, it doesn't have to go and shoot, kill whatever it touches. If the poison touches the flesh, the guy's dead. They had poison, very powerful poison, that just touching the poison is enough to kill the person. So they would dip their arrows. They dip their arrows in poison, and they shoot the arrow. And if the arrow just touches their target, just touches them, the target's dead because of the poison. That's how David describes his enemies. They have sharp tongues like a sword, and their arrows, they dip their arrows in poison. Darchu, different ways to describe the koyach of Lashon Hara. Pasuk, Lirois, Bamistarim Tom, they shoot, they're snipers. They shoot, the Tom means wholesome people. People who are tzaddikim, who have done no harm. They've done no harm. They shoot them bamistarim in secret places. In other words, they're able to take out their target quietly, with no fanfare, no one knows about this. Pisaim yoiruhu velo yirahu. They, out of nowhere, they suddenly shoot. You would never expect, and the people, they have no fear. This simply means is that the people who shoot the arrow, who shoot their weapon, they have no yirah shemayim. They're not afraid of being caught. They're not afraid of anything. Pasuk vav yichazku lomoy dovor ra. They strengthen themselves with evil. Yisapu litmoin, they talk litmoin mikshim to hide traps. Now the word tamun means to hide. Mikshim are traps. Amru, they say, mi yira lama, who's gonna find us? No one's gonna see us. We're in control. We're in control. these are different descriptions of David's enemies, and obviously there's an enormous amount of depth in each one of these descriptions, and each one of the Mefarshim is going to take these psukim and read it into their approach of the Mizmar. If we're dealing with Haman, we have to back it up. Show me where in the Megillah it says such a thing. Show me in the Megillah where you can find such a thing. We're learning about Donil Ish Hamuda. Show me where the people, the deep state, did these things to Daniel. If you're learning that dealing with Shaul and Doeg, show me. Show me in Sefer Shmuel to back up your thesis that we're dealing with David, we're dealing with Shaul and Doeg and all that whole cast of characters. Show me a parallel between these Sukkim and that event. Okay, we'll continue with Shem tomorrow. So each one we have to see. We got to back it up.